Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys. I'm Dan.
And I'm Corey.
And the A's are back in action, for better or worse.
Yeah, and we're here, so welcome back to Season 4.
We decided to do a Friday thing, because Friday is easier for both of us now.
We've constantly talked about how we would love to record more, but just for how busy we are, one time a week is probably best at the moment.
So Fridays. Friday is the day this year.
So look for us on Fridays,
I suppose. But I guess let's just get right into it.
Yeah, let's recap the opening week. We just watched them barely lose to the Tigers in game one here today, but the season started
against Cleveland.
And yes.
Shane Bieber.
Shane Bieber destroyed us 8-0. I had already completely put that out of my mind.
Yeah, we got worked.
Yeah, does anything jump to mind from opening day besides
What's
that
his
for
name?
You?
David Fry, right? Yeah,
David Fry was a monster.
Yeah, he had like three for four. Yeah.
Bieber had 11 Ks.
Wood wasn't good, but also
Kyle Muller was okay.
I remember thinking that Wood wasn't terrible. There were just a lot of ground balls that found holes, you know? It wasn't like he got absolutely shelled and gave up four homers. You know, there were just a lot of, I mean, I was looking at this earlier. You know, I mean, even the Andrés Giménez singles on a line drive to center field to JJ Bleda, that scores a run. Austin Hedges singles on a ground ball to shortstop Nick Allen, that scores two runs. You know, and that you remember that? That was that hot shot that just like went right through Nick Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously these aren't like dinky little grounders, but they are ground balls. You know, like that was a play that Nick Allen like could have made
in a play that we've been like bred to think he will make all the time.
Yeah, so the line for Wood was bad, but I don't think he was that bad. But JJ Bleda had two hits. He doubled, but we got smoked.
The next game, the A's lost 6-4.
Kind of a more traditional, just lost a game. Didn't absolutely get smoked this
time. Your typical A's game for the past couple of years. Ross Stripling was not great.
No.
Kind of had a similar debut to Alex Wood. Just a little bit underwhelming. Gave up a lot of hits.
Andrés Giménez killed us this series. I had, as you said earlier, I had kind of put that out of my mind, but he absolutely killed us.
Stephen Kwan, too.
Yeah. J.D. Davis homered twice.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Eshri Ruiz doubled. I guess we'll get to that later. But
before he got demoted, Ruiz was kind of hot.
He was looking okay.
Next game got blown out again, 12-3.
Yep.
J.P. Sears just had nothing.
No.
Rough times.
Yeah. Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, their lineup is good. When everyone's going, the Cleveland is a scary lineup.
The highlight of the game for the A's was essentially a Kyle McCann walk to score a run back in the second or third inning. And it was all downhill from there.
Yep.
But then the A's won 4-3.
They did it.
They had to score a run in the bottom of the ninth. It was a walk-off walk by Abraham Toro.
Paul Blackburn was electric.
It's a little hilarious. I had already just blacked out everything that happened this last week from the A's, but for their only victory to be a walk-off walk
is very,
very fitting.
Yeah, very, very appropriate. And they had a 3-0 lead. Paul Blackburn was cruising. Paul Blackburn, 4 base runners in 7 innings. He was great. And the bullpen proceeded to blow it almost immediately. Lucas Erceg has not quite found the zone this year in an effective way. But they pulled it out. They made it work, you know. And we're 1-3 at this point. And that's the end of the Cleveland series. So we opened with a 4-game series loss to Cleveland. Weren't really in many of the games, to be fair. It was, you know, I guess early, maybe game two, we could have won game two. The 6-4 game, they could have won.
Yeah, could have won game two.
But yeah, so on to, well, in Oakland still, but on to the Red Sox. Terrible, another terrible
just
game.
Just got
one.
Destroyed again.
Terrible game.
Joe Boyle wasn't good, which is sad because I was excited about that. Jaren Duran killed us. Three hits and just was all over the place all day.
Yeah.
Huck was great for the Red Sox. 10 strikeouts over 6.
Yeah.
The A's got a pretty decent outing out of Kyle Muller. I guess Kyle Muller's off to a decent start.
He is. It's true.
So we might see him back in the rotation
soon.
The
numbers support that. Bladé, 2-for-3. I mean, at this point, and it had felt pretty apparent, it was like the JJ Bladé and nobody else, which is true. That's what it had been up to this point. So yeah, 9-0. That game stunk. Eerily similar to the Bieber game in the first game of the Guardian series, you know?
Absolutely.
Just got absolutely mowed down.
Nothing good to say about it.
Game 2. Oh man, this one stunk. I really thought they were going to win this game.
I did too. I really did too. Home runs from Langliers and Bladé. Pretty good pitching from Alex Wood, I guess. He got the job done. 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts over 5.
And I feel like he's maybe trending in the right direction.
Definitely. He's better than the first start, absolutely.
Yeah.
Austin Adams actually had a pretty good outing.
Yeah.
As did McFarland and Jimenez and Mason Miller.
This felt like Mason Miller's like coming out party out of the bullpen. Like, he was great.
A little bit. I had to catch this one on the radio, but I could feel the electricity.
He was amazing. But yeah, unfortunately, they came up a little bit short in extras.
And Langliers came super close to hitting one out in the ninth. Or in the
Rafael,
extra innings.
Rafael Sedin made a couple catches in this series, but more specifically this one. Was it Dallas Braden was talking on the broadcast? It was like an expected batting average of like .862 mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was an incredible... That dude in center field is legit.
Teleported himself.
He's legit. He's very, very good at defense. But, I mean, also, so little silver lining in there. Shea Langelier is hitting the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe two, at least two, if not three times this season, he has like rocketed a ball out to the right center field, you know.
And people are really hyping him up as a catcher. They're promoting his pop time, his throws, his framing. So he's turning into a pretty nice little backstop.
JJ Bladé, first homer of the year. I mean, they lost.
Could have won, but
they lost. And then, oh man.
Big time.
This was
from Ross
2 days ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh. So Wednesday. Nick Pivetta. Why don't we sign Nick Pivetta?
He should be affordable, relatively speaking.
He'd win a Cy Young if he pitched half his home games in Oakland. I mean, this dude, I don't know if you're noticing a theme here at all, dear listeners, but we got mowed down again.
Absolutely.
Obliterated by the Boston.
We knew that would
staff.
Happen. Nick Pivetta now has like a 28 inning scoreless streak against the A's.
Something like that.
Just dominant.
Yeah. And Ross Stripling was so good. Like Ross, he played with fire a little bit. I mean, the eight hits. There were some hard hit balls, but the way he like got out of trouble and I mean no walks, he was locating like pretty well. I mean, I think that was the problem on some of those like harder hit balls. He was just like locating so well all day that like anytime he did make a mistake, they seemed to just like jump all over it.
Totally.
But stoked about Ross Stripling. It's encouraged by Alex Wood's last start. Full on stoked by this start from Ross Stripling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the offense, you know, I mean, they had 8 hits. They had chances. We just, man. Geloff grounded into a double play with, I think, the bases loaded, right? Maybe in the 7th?
Probably. Something like that. That happens a lot.
Pretty brutal. They are getting chances occasionally. Not super, super consistently, but, you know, they're getting chances. And they're just, like, not cashing in on them, really. You know, it feels like we haven't had, like, a big hit.
No, not literally year. Nothing fun has happened.
You know?
The biggest moment was the walk-off walk.
Yeah. So yeah, that a 1-0 game. I mean, what do you say about losing a 1-0 game? It's a bummer kind of all around. You
can say almost the same thing about losing a 5-4 game.
Yep.
Like today.
Yep. At least it wasn't in extra innings, but yep, it was a 5-4 game, and it was a game that we for sure could have won.
Could have won. Probably should have won. But just didn't. There's some signs of the team maybe waking up, just showing a little bit of a sense of urgency, at least in the ninth, you could tell. Ryan Noto drew a big walk, was yelling back to the dugout, trying to pump the boys up. Mm-hmm. Nick Allen responded with a pop-up, and Zach Geloff struck out swinging to end the game. But I'm hopeful that something is starting to change, and they're realizing that if they don't start winning a few here and there, then it's going to get maybe even uglier than last year, yeah. Real quick.
J.D. Davis striking out with runners on first and third in the seventh was tough, too.
It hurt. It
was tough.
First home run from Rooker. It was a pretty nice little bomb ski.
It was. It was.
And Abraham Toro had a one pretty much the same exact spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, better effort. At least they only made one error. The defense has been atrocious. We'll talk about that later on.
It's been atrocious.
But at least that isn't necessarily what stabbed them in the back today.
It's true.
Overall, you know.
Hernandez, though, made that error, and that guy has done nothing, which is a shame because I was really excited to see him play.
Yeah. And, you know, I think they'll give him – he's going to get a little bit of a leash, you know. But, yeah, he's got zeros across the board.
Zeros, you know? And errors.
Zeros and errors. So it's a probably a good name for the team so far, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that – for those of you keeping track at home, lands the boys at 1-7, which is not really the start you wanted to get off to, you know? So, I guess that leads to the question. I mean, I guess it's technically topic two, but, so how are we feeling post week one? I put down not fantastic.
I didn't put anything down, but I don't feel good.
I put down not fantastic.
I think I've felt a little bit upset this past few days, to say the least.
It's not like crushing disappointment, you know? It's not like I expected them to be good and they're bad. But it is just like, I am just like a little bit disappointed. It's just a bummer, you know? I was hoping that they were going to be a little bit better, and they seem to be like kind of just as bad thus far. I think the talent level is higher than it was last year.
I think that's true. We're not getting any luck, and we're just not playing well.
No.
So it's hard to expect them to do much with it. I'm a little sad. It's a sad time. I was hoping, you know, coming into opening day, it's always a fun time. It's like, well, maybe. And there is just no. It's a flat no so far.
Yeah, they've pulled the plug on that pretty. I will say, I mean, I think one of the silver linings for me is that I feel like it's a group of like pretty good players that are playing really badly. Whereas last year, I kind of felt very quickly that it was a group of really bad players that were playing up to their skill level. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the ceiling is a little bit higher. The floor seems to be exactly the same somehow. But the ceiling is higher. You know, and I mean, we'll see what happens, I guess. But I mean, we got down here. Rotation looks iffy, which is fair. offense ain't there. Offense non-existent. Just nothing, you know. Like JJ Bleday's been honestly great. Oh, that's what. Okay, moment of the week. My moment of the week is, speaking of this, JJ Bleday, who, not including today, I don't know what he did today. 9-27, 2 doubles, a triple, a homer, and 2 walks to start the year.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty, you know, that'll work. That's what we were hoping for out of JJ Bleday. That's what I was, you know, that's what we need. God, we need it so bad.
Yeah, we have, so far by OPS Plus, 3 good hitters. We have JJ Bleday, JD Davis, and Shea Langeliers. And everyone else is bad.
Really bad.
The next best is Nick Allen at 89.
Seth Brown's at -8.
Well, Estre Ruiz was the best on the entire team, but they sent him down.
They did. He was too good.
Too good. He was making everybody else look bad. Pitching wise,
what's your moment of the week?
Chicken strip going 7 innings pitched, yep. 1 run and no walks. I've always really liked Ross Stripling and Alex Wood, watching him pitch for whoever they've pitched for all these years, Dodgers, Giants, Reds. I don't even know. I know they haven't played for the exact same teams the whole time. But I was excited about him coming into the year. And yeah. So far, Alex Wood, not loving the way his pitches look. I think they look very hittable. I'm not super concerned. But Ross Stripling, on the other hand, is starting to look pretty good.
Alex Wood's FIP is 2.99.
Interesting. That doesn't make... I guess he's had a lot of errors behind him. I don't know. No. Weird. Mm. It's a very small sample size. But yeah, we only have two good pitchers by ERA Plus, and that's Kyle Muller and Mitch Spence.
Mitch Spence has been cool, I think. I mean, this bullpen, I like this bullpen way more than I like the bullpen last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is very small sample size again. Mason Miller's going to be at the top of the list at some point.
Yeah.
Austin Adams, we've had a few good moments with him.
I put it down here somewhere. Jimenez, Spence, and Adams. I've been overall pretty happy with what they've all been doing.
And is it Spence that's the Rule 5? I think it's him. I think it's Mitch Spence is a Rule 5 pick, picked up from like the Yankees. So he's got to stick to the big league roster, or else we got to send him back. Something to keep your eye on. TJ McFarland with a couple big double plays this week.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I think he looks pretty good. The numbers are not great, but I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, small sample size. Paul Blackburn, I don't know why. Amazing. He doesn't have an ERA plus, but I bet it's fine. I bet it's good.
It's off the charts.
That's kind of weird. Oh, he doesn't have an ERA. Maybe you need an ERA to have an ERA. No, these guys don't have ERAs.
And they don't have
ERA pluses. You learn something new every day.
They don't have it. Wow, that's crazy.
It's a mystery.
No, I think that might be it. Because look, they don't have ERA pluses.
Oh, you're right. They don't. You need an okay. You need an ERA to adjust it, I guess.
I guess. Interesting. Anyway, okay. So we said rotation looks heavy. Offense isn't there. Defense sucks. Defense has been terrible.
The defense is truly terrible. So.
There have been kind of really cringy stretches. Mm-hmm. There's been some things that have happened that have really just like taken me out of games entirely.
Yeah, and just like completely missing cutoff men, like they're not even existent. Just terrible, terrible.
Yeah, stuff. And just like booting huge, like debilitating errors. Like, you know, like booting a ball and two runs come in because the bases were loaded.
They set some record. I don't remember what it was, but it's like 5 errors in your first 4 games is the worst start a team has had in 12 years.
I don't know, wouldn't surprise me. But I expect that to improve for sure, because that's been rough. And that is like a thing that you can control more or less. You know, that's like a thing that you can get better at. Mm-hmm. But also, with all of these things, rotation looking iffy, offense not being great, defense sucks, they're still super young. You know, like it feels like every dude is 23 years old.
They are.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's... It's like I'm not gonna say they're getting bad at it, but just 23-year-olds, you know, like they're, it's just insane how young they are, you know, like they're, this may be a good team in 2 or 3 years if they keep them together, but they're all 16 years old right now, you know, like it's crazy. I mean, obviously, with the exception of, you know, like the veterans that you're aware of, like, you know, there's Ross Stripling, there's Alex Wood. But I mean, everybody else, it just feels like they're Lawrence Butler and they're 24, you know, and they're like basically letting them do all the work that someone would normally do in the minors, just at the majors, because they're not really trying to win that much, you know. So that's, I think there is, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Dallas Braden has talked about that a couple times. You know, he said, like, these dudes are getting the opportunity to, like, figure these things out of the majors, which, like, doesn't really happen that often, you know. And it's true, it doesn't. I mean, you know, normally you, like, got to kind of prove it at least a little bit. And, like, some of these dudes aren't really having to prove it that much. You know, they're getting run, which is, you know, I guess a way to do it. But
if I was a fringy AAA dude, I'd be clamoring to come to the Oakland A's.
Absolutely.
There's playing time.
Few bright spots. JJ Bleday, for sure.
Yeah, Mason Miller.
And as I said earlier, I'm not like Jimenez and Spence and Adams have the look to me thus far of guys that could be like useful out of a bullpen. And also, yeah, McFarland, like some of the bullpen guys. I think I'm excited about some of the parts of the bullpen. The whole bullpen hasn't been great so far, but I feel like they're
should be okay. Know,
there are some makings.
And Blackburn and Stripling in the rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, if you just don't look at the defense, you can squint and maybe see something playable. So, yeah, that was week one. Not a great week on the field.
No.
Arguably a worse week off the field.
Yeah.
Hard to argue with it, I think.
Yeah.
Basically, it's now official. We're in the middle of the last season of the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, they're moving to Sacramento for three seasons.
They will not become the Sacramento A's. They'll just be the A's.
Like it's like when the Washington was the Washington football team.
Yes.
They're just like the unincorporated Athletics. So yeah, weird. I think it's just weird. It's another weird step in a weird dance.
It's very weird. We have known something along these lines was happening for a long time. Obviously the Vegas thing is supposed to be going on. But it's kind of felt like until now that there was a chance that Vegas would completely fall apart and they would just somehow stay in Oakland. And now suddenly it's like, well, they're going to have a new temporary home. Seems like the odds are they'd either stay in the new temporary home or move to Vegas rather than come back to Oakland. So it's just, it feels like a nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
And let's be real. Like, this is something that we have all grown up with and we freaking love. We have cried about it. We've laughed about it. We've had amazing moments watching the Oakland A's with friends and family. And it freaking sucks.
Yeah, and I think there are just times where you don't even have to get, like, too poetic about it. Like, it's just bad. It's just a bad
thing. It's terrible. I mean,
it's a bad thing.
It's really been eye-opening. MLB is run by a bunch of schmucks.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care about the fans, not the way they should.
Yeah, and, like, I think maybe some owners do. I don't know. You know, like, that hasn't been my experience as a baseball fan at all. But, you know, I mean, maybe one day there will be a baseball team in Oakland or nearby enough that's run by someone who's actually at least trying to win. You know?
I hope so.
You do realize, yeah, like you said, it is kind of weird. You know, it has painted baseball in kind of a weird thing. But it's also, I know that this isn't the type of stuff. This level of stuff is kind of unprecedented.
It is a little unprecedented.
This isn't going on all the time. I mean, they really, as you said, they don't care as much about the fans as maybe we thought they did, or maybe they should. But yeah, it's, you know, maybe it's, I think we'll see how the Sacramento thing goes. I mean, I think we both, at least I kind of, if they're in Sacramento, that's better than them being in Vegas, you know?
Like, yeah.
Now we're talking. Well,
and for some perspective, Dan and I grew up in Lodi, 30 minutes down the road from Sacramento. They're practically moving to our backyard. We're also diehard Sacramento Kings fans.
Yeah, so that would be cool.
The idea of going to our two favorite sport teams' home games in the same day, in the same city, separated by nothing but bar hopping.
Yeah, sounds great. It's
kind of amazing.
It sounds pretty cool.
I don't want to disparage how crappy this is for a lot of people, though. And so we're just kind of here to say, like, wherever you are on the spectrum of completely miserable to somehow managing to be happy about whatever's going on, like, we respect you and it's okay for you to feel that way, and you can be a fan or you cannot be a fan. It's all okay, you know, do whatever you feel is right.
Yeah,
and I don't think you should let anyone tell you have to handle this a certain way or feel ashamed about going to an Oakland A's game or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I think any reaction kind of makes sense.
It does. It's just,
you know, like there's rough. It's because it's like relationships with baseball teams are so like nuanced, you know, like everybody has a slightly different reason why they started rooting for the baseball team that they're rooting for, you know, and everybody holds, if you really love baseball, then yeah, you really hold that reason. It's like a big deal to you, you know? So, when it stabs you in the back like this, I think it's like a very personal feeling for everyone. So yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, like you said, I think the full spectrum of fan responses is appropriate. You know, I mean, from never watching the sport or sports again because you don't want to support something that can turn on you like this, completely makes sense. Two, you're going to ride it out with the A's wherever they go, no matter what, because that's your team. Those both make sense to me. Everything in between those two makes sense to me. You know, I mean, it's just, you got to head above water, honestly, like whatever we as fans need to do to get through this like incredibly odd kind of traumatic sports experience, I think is on the table. It's fine. You know,
yeah.
Like no judgment on this podcast.
And don't even need to know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I feel differently about the A's than I did before. That's for sure. But I don't. Will I abandon them? I doubt it. I kind of just doubt it. I mean, but my love for them is different. It's not as strong as it once was.
Well, and I mean, I think there was a time where, and I think we've probably talked about this before, and I think I go back and forth on it a little bit, but like, sometimes I feel like I'm a bigger A's fan than I am a baseball fan, and then sometimes I feel like I'm a bigger baseball fan than I am an A's fan. And like now,
lately it feels that way.
Well, it's just over, you know. Like that's not even even really a competition anymore, you know. Like I could kind of, and I think it's interesting. Like I think I am kind of, my position at least currently is I'm just kind of being non-committal because I need to give it a little bit of time to see like what options will be presented to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is this actually going to look like when the dust settles? You know, like are they going to be in Vegas? You know, like, or are they going to be stuck in limbo in Sacramento? Like, we were talking about that before we started recording, you know what I mean? Are they going to be stuck in limbo in Sacramento like they were stuck in limbo in Oakland since 2006?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean,
this could be like a 20-year thing in Sacramento at this rate.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's the worst one. Well, I mean, there's a lot of bad parts of it, but one of the parts that's really wearing on me about this is that it's like unrelenting, weird, kind of disappointing news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like every like 3 months, there's like a weird turn where it's like, it doesn't get better. It doesn't get worse at the rate that you're in like a nightmare scenario you're expecting it to get worse at, you know, because I mean, I feel like in my head there's always you wake up on Monday morning, it's like they're moving to Vegas in 2 months and everything got approved and like it's full go, you know, because for me, that's, for some reason, that feels like worst case scenario, you know, like if it just like happened, you know, like that's the nightmare.
It is. That's what we've all been hoping doesn't happen.
And so, but also like turns out maybe the real nightmare is if they fucking slow roll their way to Vegas over the course of like 10 years and they still end up in Vegas anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but they like play 2 years in Sacramento and then they play 4 years in like Fresno and then they play,
oh my gosh,
you know, like they play and then they just, you know, by the time they limp into Vegas, they're there, but it's just, there's just so many ways it could, and it seems like it is going weirdly, you know.
It's definitely going weirdly.
So it doesn't seem like it's gonna be going less weirdly before it gets resolved, whatever a resolution even looks like, you know. So
it does make me wonder what this was like when the A's moved from Philadelphia and from Kansas City. I mean, obviously they weren't in Kansas City very long, but they won tons of championships in Philadelphia. There had to have been diehard fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's an angle that I haven't seen anybody talk about. Like, what was it like back then? Were fans mad? Was it a messed up, messy departure? Or was it like a clean cut move? I've never even thought about this before, but now I'm finding myself very curious.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a bummer. But we'll see. I mean, Sacramento is within striking distance for those people that are still trying to go to games, which I guess is some sort of solve for that group, maybe.
Maybe.
But who knows? Anyway. It's look sucky. Back time?
It's sucky time. look back time. I got a currently relevant look back.
Okay.
I think you'll get it. But if you don't, I'll give
Nick Martini.
Nick Martini! He had a freaking amazing opening day this year. He hit 2 home runs. He's off to a great start in general, hitting 333, OPS and 198. He had an OPS, or OPS plus, and he had an OPS plus of 139 last year in 30 games.
He had an OPS plus of 127 for us in 2018 in 55 games.
I mean, I've never understood the whole time why he just didn't, why didn't we just give him right field?
We should have kept Nick Martini. If Nick Martini, if you're listening, we wanted you to stay in Oaktown Boys.
Big time.
We were big Nick Martini fans. Love we your still beard. Are Nick Martini. We love still your are name. Nick Martini fans. Yeah. That's a great one though. I love,
you know, love your on base percentage.
He was a Padre. I love, you know, like if you were and a Padre, you're on a good list.
It's been weird that he doesn't stick. No one has given him more than 30 games basically since his rookie season.
Yeah. It is strange. But I bet the Reds will now.
I mean, I'm assuming it's a you don't hit enough home runs thing, but
no.
We'll see. Anyway. Maybe he's fixing that. So that was our Oakland player look back of the week. The coolest thing we saw in MLB this week, I am a little bit biased about this, but I do think it still works. Garrett Crochet is turning into an ace. And he used to be a reliever, pretty good reliever. I think he maybe had his ups and downs. He's still young. He throws real hard. He's lefty. And I took him in a couple of fantasy drafts after reading some random article about, you know, sleeper picks, and he's really working out so far. 2 starts and tons of strikeouts.
He's
virtually
been
no runs.
He's been amazing. My coolest thing, Bryce Harper had a 3 homer game, and the 3rd homer was a grand slam, and it was awesome.
That was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. Okay, and we have a new thing. We've got a new, like, end of the episode game show thing.
That's right. We tried really hard to do the the fantasy face-off last year. We did it. We did it. We maybe didn't exactly keep track of things the way we intended to. So we're just going to call it a draw.
Mm-hmm.
We tied. Dan and I traditionally, we tie in fantasy a lot. I think over all the years, our average averages out.
Yeah. So we are taking that out of our hands a little bit. We're going to be picking a team for the week. So every week, we're going to trade off who picks first. And you pick a team.
That's right.
Pick a team, and their record from Saturday through Thursday is calculated. So it's a full week of, if there's no off games, then it's 6 games. If the first person picks and the team does have an off game, so it's only 5 games, they can elect one time to repick, but then they have to go with their second pick to try and get a full week of games. And then the same goes also for the second person. They get their first pick, and then if we find out that that team only has 5 games, they get another pick to try and have a team that has 6 games. But if not, then they're locked into a team that has 5 games.
Might sound confusing, but we're finding ourselves quickly into it.
Yeah. and we're not counting Fridays because we record on Fridays.
That's
so
right.
We're, you know, keep things those games clean. Yeah. Yeah.
So like today I had the pick and I just, without even really thinking, just went Phillies, who turned out to play all 6 games between now and next Friday. And Dan,
I didn't pick the Braves first.
No, Dan looked at somebody first that only had 5 games,
Then I picked the Braves, and the Braves have 6 games.
And that's kind of how we stumbled upon what the game was going to be.
And then, so we will tally up the records next week, and then we will carry that record into the next week of picks. So however the Braves do for me this week, that'll be my record after this week. And then, you know, I'll pick whatever the, you know, Red Sox next week or something, and then the record will stack, and then at the end of the year we will have something close to a baseball record for our
teams. Something, I guess it'll be like,
it'll be a little bit short, but
30, I don't know how many weeks there are, somewhere between 20-30 weeks, I don't know, cut out one day to like 120 games, maybe. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
But yeah.
What's next? We got Tigers right now. We've already lost one game that we could have won. A couple more 10 a.m. games this weekend. That's always kind of fun. It's like, yay, early baseball. And then it's like, oh, there's nothing to watch the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Who's after the Tigres?
Let me see here. Rangers.
Oh, good. The Rangers. Former World Series champs.
Tigers Saturday, Sunday, off day Monday. Rangers. Not great.
Scary. Nationals after that. One of the only other teams that looks as dinky as the A's so far.
But all right. I think that's all I got for you. Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle again.
And, you know, we're in this fight with you guys. So we will talk to you more about the A's next week.
You are not alone. We're all in this together.
Have a good week.
Go A's.
Bye-bye.